Tia and my wife Debbie. And of course, brother, you just kind of lit the room up when you said they were three sisters, because I get that pretty regular. I had another brother at church the other day. He said, I get that same thing said about me. That's old gray-headed men, you know. Then you get three younger people. It kind of is an encouragement to have them. The Lord's blessed me with them, and I'm thankful they were able to come here tonight. I want to thank you all for the subject matter. Man, what a great theme for the whole series on joy. And Brother Robert asked me, he said, well, just pick the one you want. And I thought, boy, the one that kind of hit me was the one that we picked tonight. So I just want you to know that I'm thankful to be here with you. Y'all, I'm going to do this more like a Bible study. I hope that's okay. I'm one of those people that the Word of God's got more to say than Marlon Rutherford. And with that said, I've learned that in these mission trips, that it's a whole lot easier to let these people read the Word of God without having to go through translation, because they have a little difficulty in my English anyway sometimes. But through this translation, when you got reading, you can get it. You know. So thank the Lord, the Word of God's in about every known world now has the gospel in their language. So maybe not every, but most of every place that we know of. Like I said, the subject matter tonight, and y'all forgive me, I'm trying these glasses again. I'm still kind of trying to get used to these. But I'm going to have this on behind, and you're welcome to take notes as we go if you'd like to do that. But, I'm going to back up. Like I said, the subject matter is joy of our salvation. And I think the actual title was my salvation, to make it more personal, I think, what Brother Robert has suggested we go with. Did I just do that arrow back? Is that right, Stan, or down? Huh? 3 o'clock one? Okay. I'm not doing something right. Maybe. Can you just back me up one time, brother? There you go. I can't hardly speak without saying something about Russia, so here we go. I want y'all to know, when this good brother asked me to speak on this subject, I want to tell you a quick story that took place in Vorkuta. Vorkuta is that congregation I told y'all at the top of the, across the Arctic Circle, 200 miles north at the end of the world, basically. And so the last time I was there, this is a picture of one of the gatherings, either a Bible study, and it might have been Sunday afternoon, just a little gathering we had. But so I said, let's take a picture. But that Sunday, when they asked us to do a lesson and preach, they said, we're going to sing. I said, what songs would you all like to sing? They said, we're going to sing Joy to the World. I said, wow, We kind of got this thing about the Christmas mindset. Well, this was on Sunday. Can't show back up on Monday for a Bible study with some of these and some more. And they said, we always like singing when we have these gatherings. I said, what song would you like to sing? Joy to the World. They looked at me and said, we sing Joy to the World every time we come together. Wow. Y'all know the words of that song. We're not going to sing it right now. But so when you said joy, I said, this is it. So I just wanted you to see those little faces and know that you got some Christians at the top of the world that are joyful people. So tonight, I hope this lesson tonight is encouragement to you from God's Word. You know, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, and give you life more abundantly. How you doing with that? You know, are you having abundant life in Jesus Christ? I want us to turn to a passage real quick, and y'all forgive me, I'm going to try to read it, because I'm going to try to read several of these. We're not going to, y'all seen me do this kind of before. I list a lot of passages, but we won't have time to read all of them. But something that ought to really burn in us just a little bit, that something that happened in Luke chapter 24. We won't read all of 24, but the story here is Jesus Christ had been crucified on the cross, and there was a couple of disciples that was on their road to Emmaus, okay? And while they were on their road to Emmaus, guess what happened? Jesus Christ began to be with them. He was there traveling along with them, or walking along there, I assume, and all of a sudden, Jesus kind of gave the impression that, well, why are y'all kind of so sorrowful? And these people looked at Jesus Christ and said, man, who are you, a stranger? Have you got any idea what just happened? in Jerusalem? Now I'm paraphrasing this, so I won't have time to read it all. So Jesus said, well, you know, what happened? Now this is Jesus talking to these two men. And so as they go along a little bit, he said, look, they have crucified Jesus Christ. This is the third day, and we don't know what's going to happen. Let's read 31 and 32. And their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? Wow. He has talked with us by the way, and he has opened to us the scriptures. Can you imagine what those people felt like after they realized they had been with Jesus? They had a burning heart. And I want to tell you tonight, I hope and pray when we get done with this last night, as Christians, we have burning hearts because of the joy of our salvation. That's where we're headed with this lesson tonight. You know, in Acts chapter 2, a lot of scriptures here, and we won't take time to read all these, but we're going to kind of read the conclusion of each of these real quickly. But in Acts chapter 2, y'all know the excitement that took place there on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls have been baptized. We get down to verse 46 and 47, and it says, and continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread, from house to house they did eat their meat with gladness. You know, the mindset of the first century church was happiness, rejoicing, joy, gladness. And I think those are synonyms. All those words are kind of together here. So when you get to Acts chapter 2, they were doing kind of what y'all were doing here in this back room a while ago. Y'all had some gladness that looked like going on with a little fellowship. And what a blessing that was. That's a good example of what took place in the first century church. Well, you go into Acts chapter 8, and we find the Philip preaching in Samaria. And there was, the Bible teaches us there that Philip went down to Samaria, Acts chapter 8, verse 5, preached Christ unto them. Many people had been obeyed the gospel. Man, get to verse 8. Acts 8, 8. And there was great joy in that city. You know, the last time I was here, it was pretty good a bit of excitement that took place on that day when this man here made the decision to obey the gospel. That's joy. That was the joy that was taking place in the first century church because those people had burning hearts for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about burning hearts. That kind of motivated their joy. Well, another passage we're real familiar with, the eunuch. The Bible says in verse 39, Acts 8 there, he went on his way rejoicing. You go to verse chapter 13, verse 44. Y'all, this is not going to be just Acts lesson here. Y'all give me just the time. We're going to get some other passages. But I wanted you to just kind of see the mindset of these people. You get to Acts 13, verse 44. The Bible says, the next Sabbath came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. Man, can you imagine if y'all had one of those old-fashioned tent meetings? Any of y'all remember those? Any of y'all go there? It's about time to have one. It's hot enough. You know, it seemed like it was always hot. But you know, when back in those days, it was people hanging out the ends of them things a lot of times. But you know, can you imagine even today that taking place in Tanner, Alabama? But boy, we find here that the mindset of the first century church, there was a lot of joy and excitement because people were being saved in the salvation of their soul. We go on to Acts chapter 16, a passage we're familiar with. The Philippian jailer, the Bible says he was baptized, his stripes were washed in verse 33. But when you get to verse 34, the Bible goes on to tell us that they rejoice, believing that God was with him in all of his house. So I'm going to try to forward this. I'm still not doing something right. How'd I go forward? All right. Here's some passages. What am I doing wrong there, brother? Okay, thank you very much. That's good. All right. But notice here, we find here the scripture says, these are some passages I hope it really encourages. We are today joyful because of our salvation. Notice what the psalmist says. And I'm going to try to take time. We won't read all these. But Psalms chapter 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Psalms chapter 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. You know, we ought to be excited. You know, some of the young people that went to the CYC this past time, you know, that was one of the things that one of the brothers got up, Brother Ralph Gilmore said. He said, it ought to be the greatest thing in the world to be a Christian. You know, we're to have a lot of joy. Psalms chapter 35, verse 9, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I'm backed up. Y'all forgive me. All right, here we go. What was the nature then of the first century church? Again, the nature in Romans chapter 12. I want us to read that. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Notice what the great apostle Paul wrote here. There was three things that took place that he's telling us to keep in mind, or telling the church at Rome to keep in mind. He says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. Man, that's tough, ain't it? Sometimes that tribulation's kind of tough. I've been, some of us of late have had a little more tribulation than probably we really wanted. But, you know, tribulation comes upon us. But that's what Paul's saying here to the church in Rome. He says, rejoicing. All right, be joyful. Be joyful in hope. Patient in tribulation. Get this last part. Continuing instant in prayer. And then you go to James chapter 1. James kind of tells us like this. James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, my brethren, I count it all joy when I fall in various trials. Do we do that? Whew. You know, we won't raise no hands, but that's kind of one of those ones to me that's pretty hard to swallow, isn't it? You know, to say that you're really joyful because you're going through trials. But in Romans chapter 15, notice what Paul said in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we ask the question, what kind of hope is Paul talking about here to be joyful in? Boy, I tell you, one of my most, the passage that I have become one of my most favorite is 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes here, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope. A living hope. And how does that happen? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, verse 4. For our inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Mark this under you. If you ain't got your Bible underlined, here's the part to underline in your book. Reserved in heaven for you. Now that's some hope, isn't it? That should be something that gives us a lot of joy to know for the fact, because of our salvation, there's hope in heaven because there's a reservation by God Almighty. Let's continue reading. Verse number 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. I'm reading Old King James. I hope that's okay. Some of y'all may have the word joy there. But wherein ye greatly rejoice through now for a season, it need be, ye are heaviness through the manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, we love. We're not those people on the road to Emmaus. But man, we still love him, don't we? Because the hope that he's given us and the reservation that we have. Notice here he says, yet believe and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Get this last. Here's another one underlined. Verse number 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Wow. That gives me a little chill bumps. He was joking me, but it was in Birmingham. It wasn't the kind of truck he said, but I was in a truck most of the day. But you know, man, what a blessing. Why is the end so important? Because you're going to receive the salvation of your soul. I'm going to see if I can go forward again. Notice what the Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter, Philippians chapter 3, all of us familiar with this, but I want us to kind of make a point here. Philippians chapter 3, notice what Paul writes to the church. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice. When we normally say the word finally, this is the final decision. I know some of us have been involved probably in some business transactions, and they say, well, this is it. This is the final opportunity. This is the end of it. Well, when Paul gets down writing this to the church at Philippi, he says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. But notice when you get on to chapter 4, verse 4, what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, usually when we were young, if our parents told us one time, they usually meant it. I don't know, we living in a, I don't want to be careful because I want to be positive when we leave here tonight. But I don't know, we're living in a little different age now, it seems like. But when I was growing up, it was usually one time. Most of y'all remember that. If it, one time your parents told you to do it, and that was all it took. Second time, you was going out behind the shed, you know, usually. I remember one time we was at the congregation at Hatton, at the old building across the road, and man, my mom was probably one of the meanest whoopings I ever got. The guy was passing the Lord's Supper trays, and I tried to trip him as he was coming down the aisle. I couldn't, man, Richard Chandler, you remember that old building across the road, a little white building. Man, my mother took me out behind that church building, and they had these plum bushes, and they wouldn't eat plums on, I can tell you. Whew, we got wore out. But it took one time. But you know, Paul, talking about rejoicing, being joyful to the church, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And a second time, he says, again, I say rejoice. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, one of the fruits of the Spirit is the word joy. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13 there. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 13. Beloved, think it not strange. Boy, this is a passage. This is Apostle Peter writing. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. It's going to happen. You're going to have some trials and tribulation in your life. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But notice verse 13. But rejoice. Be joyful. Be glad. Insomuch as in your partakers of Christ's suffering. When his glory shall be. Listen to this. When his glory shall be revealed. You may be glad also with exceeding joy. Can you imagine how joyful that's going to be? You know, have you ever thought about that day? It's coming, isn't it? Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. It's coming. A lot of people seem to live a life away from that. But, you know, as a Christian, that's got to be the most joyful day. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. You know, and I love my family. I love them three little women back there, but Lord willing, I'm ready for them to go home, and let's go on home when the Lord's ready for us. And every Christian should have that joy in their heart. I really believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I want to move just a little quicker. I hope this is okay. This is more of a Bible class because this was kind of the way I had it planned, if that's okay. Are we serving the Lord with joy? Some of y'all may remember Brother Don McWhirter. You remember him? Was it Southern Christian? It might have been Ambridge. I know one of the mission conferences with DMAR. It's been a few years ago, and Brother Don McWhirter was there. And boy, it was before he passed. And one of the things I remember him saying, he said, in the Church of Christ have we lost our joy. Wow. And that just stuck in my mind. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, as the Lord's church, he made that statement. He says, have we lost our joy? You're talking about getting your antenna up. I'm sitting there thinking, but you know, look how serious that subject we're talking about is tonight. Notice what the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, a passage we're familiar with. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But you know, I've read this a bunch of times, but verse number 2, we're going to flow down here just a little bit. Look into Jesus. You know, we're going to finish a race. There's a finish line, and that's the reservation part. But look here. We're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look at this word, joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross with joy. Why do you think that was? Because he knew salvation was coming when he was willing to hang upon the cross. Despising the shame, sit down at the right hand of God. You know, the joy of dying in the Lord. You know, some of these passages we're familiar with. You know, 1 John chapter 5 there, he says, we may know we have eternal life. That should be our greatest joy as Christians. The fact that we know we have eternal life. Is that a boastful thing? No, we don't go out and say, hey, look at me, I'm going to heaven and you're not. We don't have that attitude. But as Christians, we should know that we have the truth. There was an old gentleman, I'll never forget, when we were attending Midway, Debbie and I was there for some time, and there was one of the older elders there, Brother Thomas. Some of y'all had ever passed that way may have met him. I had all these giant children. One of these boys was like 6'11", one of them 6'8", all these giants. But that good brother sat on the front most of the time, sometimes just have his farm clothes on a Wednesday night Bible class. But his favorite passage was Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Man, he hung on to that one. Buy the truth and sell it not. And so when he passed from this life, I told David, I said, we need to kind of remember that. So we was able to kind of share that with his family. But you know, we sing that song, what a glorious day that will be when Jesus I see. That should be joy. You know, that should be our greatest joy, to have the mindset that one day we're going to see Jesus Christ. I'm going to hurry. These are some passages that where we kind of started in the beginning. You know, what are we to do today? You know, we're not going to quote all these. We know that the greatest joy of the first century church was sharing the gospel. But you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul said there's two things you need to remember. You're going to save yourself and those that hear you. We don't need to forget that. The joy that first century church had. Y'all remember me sharing that story of that young man that had that machine gun stuck in his face? He didn't quit. They went to another place and was able to establish the Lord's church in another place. As Christians, we got to keep on sharing the joy that we have. One passage that, boy, it really jumps off these pages to me is John chapter 15. And notice what Jesus Christ, you know, the first part of this is talking about the vine and the branches. I'm sure y'all are familiar with that reading, but let's pick up verse number 7 of John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my heavenly Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Commit ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and I abide in his love with you. But guess verse 11. John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. This was Jesus Christ talking. He said, look here. I want my joy to remain in you, disciples. But get the last part of this. That your joy, my joy in you, but Jesus saying that you, that your joy might be full. You want full joy?
it's the salvation of your soul, in Jesus Christ. What a passage. Then, continuing on then, of course, we won't read all this, but you know, the great apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 4 here, verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And then in verse 7, he talks about we have the gospel in earthen vessels. I'm going to skip on just a little bit because our time's getting away. But I want us to think about another passage or two here. You know, Psalms chapter 51. Let's turn there just a second. Psalms 51. Might should have eaten one more piece of that watermelon. That was good. Whoever brought that was some good stuff. Psalms chapter 51. If there ever was a man that had the highs and the lows and the valleys and the hills, it was David, wasn't it? You know, he went through a lot of stuff, but still God called him a man after his own heart. And then when you get to Psalms chapter 51 here, and look what David said in Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Has anybody in here been a Christian for 50 years? Is that okay to raise your hand? This is Bible class. 50 years? Anybody go 60 years? 60 years, okay. 70, am I going, is that getting left? 60 what? How long you been a Christian? 65 years. How long you been a Christian? 2 months? Anybody younger than 2 months as far as being a Christian in here tonight? 65 years of having the joy of their salvation. 2 months having the joy of your salvation. You still remember it?
Yes, sir.
Y'all still remember it? Everybody in here still remember it? Man, we better. We better. Because the joy was what brings us to the eternal home in Jesus Christ. You know, Daniel, a passage that I found in studying for this, it was Daniel chapter 12. A lot of things happened with the young man Daniel in his life, throughout his life. And boy, if there ever was a man that was challenged, you know, look what he faced. He said, no matter what, I'm going to trust in the Lord, didn't he? No matter what he did. But John, he was kind of talking about the end of time here. And so in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and at the end of time, Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was against a nation, even to that same time. And at the time thy people shall be delivered. Every one of them shall be found written in the book. Notice verse number 2, Daniel 12. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake. You know, we alluded to a scripture earlier, Revelation 14, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Man, I'm looking for some joy seeing some of them people. I never met Debbie's dad, faithful Christian man. I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I had a couple of godly grandmothers that's done gone on that had a big influence on my life. I'm looking forward to seeing them again. That's the joy of our salvation. Every one of us have got those. You know, and we've heard it at these, and I think we're even getting away from the word funeral now, aren't we? Somewhat, we're living in a little bit of a modern time. It's celebration of life. Is that the term now, celebration of life? You know, some of us older, I guess, still remember the funeral. But, you know, in the mindset, there is rejoicing in their sorrow. But man, as Christians, the exceeding joy is because of the reservation in heaven at the end of your faith. Y'all forgive me. I'm bad to do this teaching the class. Sometimes I stop. So we're going to continue. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to start over. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But notice verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What an encouraging word from Daniel. I want us to close. I think he's fixing to ring the bell. But Habakkuk chapter 3. I was with a young man, and I'm sure not making fun of him because I've got poor English. Is that the word? Do we say poor or poor, Brother Richard? Y'all say poor or poor over here or something like that? Wow, I was with a young man a couple years ago. He wanted to go with me. He was one of the students from Heritage, and he went with me. And we was in Ookta having a Bible study with some Christians there. And, of course, it was his first time to use an interpreter, and I thought I was real excited because a young man went with me, and, here he's coming from preaching school. I thought, boy, it's going to be good, you know. So he gets up there, and, of course, he was saying everything in English, and the translator was translating everything he was saying. But he kept saying Habakkuk. I thought, man, what passage is he talking about? Habakkuk. Have any of y'all ever heard of Habakkuk? I hadn't, you know. And I thought, and this guy was real, he had good pronunciation, not like me, Steve. He had real good pronunciation, you know. So this, I thought, what is he talking about? You know, I thought, now I know there's 66 books in the Bible I got here, and I've never heard of Habakkuk. And I finally figured out he was talking about what I call Habakkuk. And so here we are. We're going to finish right here in Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk, Habakkuk. So here we go. But in Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to finish this lesson tonight right here. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. As Christians, as the family of God, all over the world, we have the greatest hope and the greatest joy we should have because of the joy of our salvation. Thank you for your attention.